From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Commonest Things Blessed. The text is Exodus 23 and verse 25. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water. What a promise is this! To serve God is in itself a high delight, but what an added privilege to have the blessing of the Lord resting upon us in all things! Our commonest things become blessed when we ourselves are consecrated to the Lord. Our Lord Jesus took bread and blessed it. Behold, we also eat of blessed bread. Jesus blessed water and made it wine. The water which we drink is far better to us than any of the wine with which men make merry. Every drop has a benediction in it. The divine blessing is on the man of God in everything, and it shall abide with him at every time. What if we have only bread and water? Yet it is blessed bread and water. Bread and water we shall have. That is implied, for it must be there for God to bless it. Thy bread shall be given thee, and thy waters shall be sure. With God at our table, we not only ask a blessing, but we have one. It is not only at the altar, but at the table that He blesses us. He serves those well who serve Him well. This table blessing is not of debt, but of grace. Indeed, there is a trebled grace. He grants us grace to serve Him, by His grace feeds us with bread, and then in His grace blesses it.
Here and we pray.
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. Today, Dr. Cairns continues these studies in the book of Romans with a continuation of the theme of God's judgment as set forth in chapter 2 of the epistle. In recent days, we saw that the judgment of God is according to truth. Then it is according to the character of the judge, the holy, righteous, and unchangeable God. In this message, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating that the judgment of God is according to works. The text is Romans 2, verse 6, where we read, that God will render to every man according to his deeds. This verse presents the solemn truth that what we do in time has eternal implications. Now here's Dr. Cairns to continue this message, Judgment According to Works.
We live in a generation where the emphasis is on living for the minute. Seize the moment. And against that background, I want you to realize that what we do in the isolated moments of time has repercussions and results that last for all eternity. I want that to sink in. I know what I'm saying as far as the meaning of words goes. I have to be honest with you. Even as I say those words, there's a fear in my own heart. And I don't really know what they mean. I have no idea. I can't comprehend the vastness and the awfulness of eternity. But what a sobering thought that the Scripture stamps on every page. What we do in time reverberates, echoes and re-echoes for all eternity. There's nothing really unimportant. There's nothing really that has no real moral import or real spiritual effect. We are God's creatures. We are going to meet our God. He is not only our Creator, He is our Judge. And as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12 and 14, God shall bring every work into judgment. And then the scary part, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And when he does so, he's going to judge all men and render to them according to their deeds or their works. Making that statement, Paul is actually quoting directly from the 62nd Psalm, where in verse 12 the psalmist cries to God, "Unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work." If you take your Bible, you'll see just how important this truth is. Let me give you some of the scriptures that lay down this truth, and there are others to which we could turn. Job chapter 34, verse 11. "For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways." God will cause every man to find according to his ways. Isaiah chapter 3. I'll have cause to refer to this later. Chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. 10 speaks to the saints, 11 speaks to the unsaved. "Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him." Jeremiah takes up the same theme in chapter 17 and verse 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings." And you can go to many other places in the Old Testament where the same truth is laid down. We come to the New Testament. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, looking forward to the day of judgment, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which they that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." That's judgment according to works. You remember that prolonged passage at the end of Matthew chapter 25. In that passage that the Schofieldites and the Derbyites like to call the judgment of the nations. People from all nations are judged. But Matthew 25 is an individual judgment. It's not a judgment of nations at all. It's a judgment of people from all nations. And verse 34 through to the end will show you the Lord Jesus speaking of that day and the king taking some to his right hand and some to his left hand. And he says to those whom he's welcoming to his right hand, I was in hunger, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, ye came to me. Come and welcome. I have your works before me. Others to his left hand, depart from me. He goes down their works again. I know your works. Writing to Christians, Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 8, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's speaking of God's people. Judgment according to works. In 2 Corinthians he has that statement. I don't want to get into it in detail. There are a couple of ways where people expound it. But whichever way you expound it, the solemnity of it is bound to grip your heart. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Writing again to Christians in the book of Galatians chapter 6. Now I know that preachers like to make this a text to sinners, and undoubtedly it has a message for sinners. But it's written to professing Christians. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Writing to the church in Thyatira, in Revelation 2:23, the Lord Jesus spoke from the throne of heaven and said, I will give unto every one of you according to your works. John describes the great judgment at the end of Revelation chapter 20. And he says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. And the book of Revelation ends in the 22nd chapter and verse 12. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, I've taken the time to go through quite a number of scripture references, because what I want you to see tonight is this, that what we're dealing with is not a little truth. It's not an isolated truth. It's not a truth on the periphery of Revelation. This is something that is so close to the very core of the biblical revelation of God's dealings with man that in both Old Testament and New Testament it is iterated and it is emphasized. You can see the fundamental message, a message from which there's no escape for any one of us. What we do in this life has consequences for all eternity. What you do, what I do, has consequences for all eternity. As Paul expounds this truth, he speaks of and applies it to two classes of people. not to Jews and Gentiles as the Jews might have thought. For he says there's no respect of persons with God. There's the Jew first and also the Gentile, and they stand in the same moral and spiritual standing before God. No, he speaks of two classes of people. Those who receive glory and honor and immortality and peace, eternal life, and those who suffer the wrath, the indignation of the righteous judgment of God. He's speaking about eternity, and he's speaking about the saved and the unsaved and their eternal destinies. Two peoples, not Jews and Gentiles, not Protestants and Roman Catholics, not, quotes, Christians in the worldly's, the world's meaning of the term, like all the denominations of Christendom versus Islam or the heathens. No. Not black and white, or rich and poor. It's too easy to divide men up into the classifications that make us comfortable in our sin. He's talking about the saved and the unsaved. He's talking about people who in the judgment will go into heaven and people who in the judgment will go into hell. Talking about eternal destinies. It's very important to recognize that Paul speaks about how the Lord will face men with their works when they stand before him, because he speaks in very different kinds of terms about how God refers the works of the saved to their judgment, to their reward, and the works of the unsaved to their judgment. When you read an English translation of Romans 2, it's natural to think that Paul says, verse 7, that to these people whom I'm speaking about by patient continuance and well-doing, etc., to them God will render eternal life. But to those in verse 8 who are contentious and don't obey the truth, God will render indignation and wrath. As it appears in the translation, the verb render in verse 6 governs what he gives to those who are saved in verse 7 and those who are lost in verse 8. But however, I think that that would be a major mistake, because Paul is very careful in how he constructs his sentence. I don't want to try to get technical, because that's when you lose a whole lot of people, but you're going to have to bear with me here, because this is a case where important doctrine depends on paying close attention to what Paul actually wrote. In verse 7, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. In verse 7, what the saved people are said to receive is in what is called the accusative case. That is the direct object of the verb to render. What they receive, God gives them. Verse 7. In verse 8, however, what sinners come to experience is not as we would expect in the accusative case. In other words, it is not governed by the verb to render. Suddenly it's in the nominative case. The nominative case is the subject of a verb, not the object. Now let me get through all the technicality and make it as simple as I can. What this is saying is that what sinners receive is not described as something that God gives them, as he gives eternal life to the saints. But it's something that arises naturally and necessarily from what they have done.
Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.